It's an enormous challenge, not simply because of the numbers. About 370,000 people have come across in the last 2.5 weeks. But it's the speed of their arrival and the fact that they were, for the most part, unexpected. So any contingency planning in place in Cox's Bazar, this relatively small area into which they've come, is clearly insufficient. I think UN agencies and also the government were expecting, you know, the possibility that as many as 100,000 more people could come across when there were already 600,000 Rohingyas in Bangladesh. But I don't think anybody expected, you know, a mass outflow like this, unprecedented in terms of volume and speed.
And what are their needs? And what are you doing at the moment to try to meet them all? I mean, it must be almost overwhelming.
It is extremely challenging. And I think all the agencies are gearing up as fast as they possibly can to bring in more resources, more people, more expertise to support the Bangladeshi government response. And that process in Cox's Bazar is currently being coordinated by something called the Intersector Coordination Group, which is essentially a mini cluster that is being convened by IOM. This is a large population of very, very vulnerable, traumatized people. I just came back from one of the biggest, what they call makeshift settlements. And you see really hundreds of people in a pretty desperate state who are camped out virtually anywhere they can find space. So that's on the side of the road, any spare sort of muddy piece of land, and on hillsides in forests and so on. And these are very desperate people. And a lot of private citizens, I think, are stepping up aid. But of course, these people need much more. They need proper camps. They need a coordinated emergency response that is fully funded by the international community.
The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights has described this on Monday as almost a textbook case of ethnic cleansing. Do the stories that you've heard from people and the things that you've witnessed bear that out?
It's very difficult for us. I think, I would defer to the High Commissioner for Human Rights' definition of what constitutes ethnic cleansing. I mean, I think what we're seeing is a large, very large number of people, you know, who have fled in fear of their lives. Because we don't have a presence now, or we don't have any access in Rakhine State, we really have to take that on face value. We've seen satellite photography of villages burning. We've heard a lot of terrible stories. But at this point, certainly IOM, and I think most of the big aid agencies, are completely focused on the humanitarian response. So the people who are here and who need our help right away. And, we need to create visibility, to generate the resources, and to coordinate this response to actually help these people.
The government of Bangladesh is asking Myanmar to take these refugees back into Rakhine State, but would they want to return? What have they been telling you?
It's very difficult to tell at this point. I think, with this sort of mass movement, clearly if there was some sort of political statement or political agreement that brought together the two governments of Myanmar and Bangladesh, and backed by the international community, that created the right climate for them to go back, I think perhaps they would, given how bad conditions are here at this point.
Does the government of Bangladesh and do the UN agencies and other partners, do you have what you need at the moment to be able to cope with this enormous influx?
No, we certainly don't. And essentially the contingency planning for an emergency here was extremely limited. These are far greater numbers than anybody expected to come across. And by anybody, I mean both the government and the aid agencies. And we need a major effort by international donors to actually avert a horrible humanitarian crisis here.
Is there anything else that you think people should know who are watching these dreadful pictures and obviously following events there on the ground?
International opinion needs to take it on board that these people really desperately need our help now. It's extremely difficult, as you know, to generate a large emergency response that is fully coordinated, at high speed. Aid doesn't work like that. I mean, we have a certain amount of money up front in terms of UN Central Emergency Response Fund and the equivalent funds that IOM uses. And IOM has put forward 2.5 million. SERF, the UN Emergency Response Fund, has put forward 7 million. But essentially, the agencies now immediately need a commitment of 77 million for the next 3 months. And that is the most recent appeal. And we expect that number to keep rising. And I think, you know, the pictures that people are seeing on their television screens and on social media should be a very good reason for the international community to step up and help these people.